You're listening to Off the Hour this June 26, 2009. Today we are marking the International Day in Support of Victims of Torture, as observed by the United Nations, and this day was observed for the first time in 1998. Three Canadians, Abdullah El-Malki, Ahmed El-Maati, and Muayyid Nuruddin, were tortured overseas with the complicity of their own government. We are calling on the government of Canada to issue an apology, provide compensation, ensure that all officials responsible are held accountable, take steps to eliminate false information about these men and their families from Canadian and international databases, and demand that the federal government issue a clear directive against torture and the use of information obtained from torture. Here is some background to share with our listeners. Abdullah El-Malki, Ahmed El-Maati, and Muayyad Nuruddin are Canadian citizens who were targeted for torture by agencies of their own government. All were falsely labeled as alleged threats to Canada's national security, and all wound up in Syria torture chambers, and in one case, Egyptian torture chambers as well, where they were interrogated and tortured based on questions that came from Canada. Last week, the Standing Committee on Public Safety and National Security of the House of Commons called for an immediate apology for all three men, along with compensation for, quote, the suffering they endured and the difficulty they encountered, end of quote. The committee released a report that also called on the federal government to do everything necessary to correct misinformation that may exist in records administrated by national security agencies in Canada or abroad. On the line with us from Ottawa, Mr. Abdullah El-Malki. Welcome to our show and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. How are you?
Mr. El-Malki, I'm doing fine. I'd like to know, what have you received yet any compensation or any satisfaction since you returned to Canada?
Unfortunately, it has been about 5 years since I came back from Syria when I came back to Canada. And until today, I have not received anything. I have not even heard a word sorry from any government official or government agent official, the exact same people even who they were behind my torture and behind sending false information and sending the Syrians interrogation questions, fully knowing that they would torture me to get my answers. Yet until today, 5 years after I came back to Canada and about 7 years after the fact, yet, you know, not a single government official or an agent of the government of the RCMP or CSIS said even sorry. The contrary, unfortunately.
All right. We know that after the Meher Arar's case, there was the commission headed by Judge O'Connor, and there were recommendations. And in your particular case and the other two men, Ahmed El-Maati and Muayyad Nuruddin, there has been a special commission headed by Judge Ikabuchi. There were recommendations made. What happened to these recommendations?
Well, unfortunately, the Akapuchi inquiry, there were no recommendations in that inquiry because the government, whom they called it initially and designed it and put its parameters to investigate the government officials, so the government putting the parameters on how to be investigated, they put the parameters so that he would not be able to make recommendations. It was only to find what happened. Also, during that commission, as far as I know in the Canadian history, this is the first public inquiry held under the Public Inquiries Act, which was held totally in secret. So we have not a single word of any government official when they were cross-examined, and we have not seen a single document produced during that inquiry. So it was a totally secret inquiry. The government argued before the inquiry and during the inquiry that the inquiry cannot make recommendations of these sorts. Unfortunately, last week, apparently the government, when they objected to the parliamentary report, the Public Safety and National Security Subcommittee report that recommended compensation, apology, and correcting all the false information that the Canadian agencies spread within Canada and abroad. When they objected to that, one of their reasoning was, well, the Akpuchi Inquiry did not do such recommendations. Well, they were the ones who argued and said that the Akpuchi Inquiry cannot and should not do such recommendations. So unfortunately, there were no recommendations. What we had, former Commissioner Iacopucci, he wrote deficiencies within the government, and there were a multitude of deficiencies that were outlined in his report. Now, as far as we know, until today, we do not have anything that would be comforting or any concrete examples how these deficiencies have been addressed. Rather, what we heard during the committee when they were in, cross-examining witnesses, it was striking when CSIS contradicted itself. One of their senior staff, they actually said that they would still use informational obtained under torture under certain circumstances, and then the government went into denying this and correcting it, which was striking. I mean, if senior CSIS officials still think that torture can be used, well, clearly there are no clear directions given by the government to CSIS and RCMP saying you cannot use the information obtained under torture. This is where we're standing, unfortunately, after all these years.
Mr. Abdullah Al-Malki, we just have a limited time, but I want to read here that torture victims have the right to be given the opportunity to establish the truth with regard to the facts surrounding crime of torture. Having their story heard is an essential element in the rehabilitation of survivors. Were you given a chance to say your story to the commission?
Well, I was cross-examined for 3 days by the commission and his staff. However, part of what you just said is that we would participate in finding the truth, and myself, Ahmed Al-Muayyad, we were barred, we were forbidden from participating whatsoever in finding the truth, and got to a point in that inquiry, which the government designed and was biased towards the government, I may add, that they got to a point where only our lawyers were able to see things which were not national security related, and they didn't allow us to see that information. And part of the reasoning was because the commission wanted to protect the reputation of government officials, and that's what the government was arguing, that they should protect the reputation of the government officials, these same officials, I may add, who they're complicit in torture. And if we think about it, that one of these officials who they were, you know, one of the people who was responsible at a very critical position within the RCMP during my time, and he's involved in my case, Ahmed's case, and Maher's case, he's now an assistant commissioner in the RCMP. So, you know, one day we might find him as the RCMP commissioner. And the question is, can Canada afford, can we afford as a country, having someone who should be investigated for being complicit in torture as a commissioner of the RCMP?
That is definitely a question that we do need to ask. Thank you so much for being with us today.